ובזה מתורץ קצס מה שקו של חירה. Rav Nosenthal says, with this introduction, we're going to be able to answer a very difficult question. Meheichon bo Odom lemichshol ovoin ze lecho meitz hadas. How in the world did Odom Arishon get messed up and eat from this eitz hadas? Me'achar shadayin lohoyo yetzer hara boilam. Since we know that the yetzer hara was not yet in existence in the world. Ukemuva b'sforim, as is brought in Sforim, umevura b'perish Rashi, and as Rashi HaKadosh writes, ha-yetzahara lo-nitan b'yem ad she-ochlu me-eitz hadas. They were not given a yetzahara until after they ate from the eitz hadas. So then, how did they get railroaded into eating from the eitz hadas if there wasn't even a yetzahara in the world yet? Vim Kane, if that's the case, Mehechon bo lechet ze. How did they come to this sin? Ach be'emes, however, the truth is, af al pi she'oz adayin lo yhoyo hayetzahara shel achshav boilam, even though there was the yetzahara as we know it today was not in the world yet, aval shoyresh achizosoy ho elyoino kfar hoyo. However, the electrical wiring was already in place. They had put the wires in the wall. Everything was there. The potential for the Yetzirah was all in place. Dahainu bechina hanal, which is what we said earlier. Bechinas hatahara, the concept of purity. Shehu bechinas habechira, which is the beginning of free choice. Bechinas shoyresh achizas hadin, which is the source from where midas hadin draws from, shehu bechinas levi. Midas hadin is levi. Shemishom horoshem sheishtalshel, it's from there, that's the source from which things spiral down, at sheyihye sheker, till it ends up evolving into actual sheker, shehu hatuma, which is impurity. Rabbeinu, obviously a person needs to learn the chapter in the Ketuvim on Torah Nun Aleph, which this halacha is based on. That's where Rabbeinu lays the foundation for this. And he says that originally when there was only Hashem, the word Tohar did not exist. When there's only goodness, you can't use the word Tohar, pure. Pure is only when there's pure versus impure. When there's Tomei, then you can have Tohar and Tomei. When there's oneness, there is no Tohar and Tomei. And before Hashem created, there was no Tohar. There was just oneness, goodness, Kulay Toiv. The moment Hashem went ahead and made a creation, that's when there became the potential. Hashem laid a foundation. He put in the wiring that there should be a Tohar. And once there's Tohar, there's got to be this Tomei also. And that's the beginning. That's the foundation. That's the basis for this Yetzirah, for Sheker, for all of these things to evolve. V'seh ha-shoyresh ho-elyoin hadak bevadai kvar hoyo tekev kishayotso habriya b'koyach ha-lapoyel v'kanal b'hatoyranal. And this source, this very, very fine line, and this very fine, like, beginning of traces of a potential of Sheker, that was in existence as soon as Hashem created, as soon as Hashem made a creation. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in the Likutei Moran, v'Odom Arishon behiboroi hoyo gavoya b'mayla ma'oid ma'oid. Odom Arishon, at the time he was created, was on an incredible, very, very high level spiritually. V'hoyo tzorech l'sakin u'lahamtik b'china zois. And therefore, he was supposed to correct and sweeten and perfect this item, this beginning of a potential of sheker. He was supposed to make the tikkun for that. Validation is Rashel b'tikun ze, and as a result of the fact that he was weak in doing that tikun, he didn't jump and get it done right away. As a result of that, Nisyaitz Hanochosh, the snake, had time to think and to plan. Vehito es odom b'sheker dak, and he caused man to make a mistake in a very, very fine type of sheker. Not a blatant sheker, not an obvious sheker, a tiny thing. al yedei sheyonak mishom, because of the fact that he was able, the nochash was able to draw from that source. V'alkein hayokol atzosoi lohoses esoi shetchila. And it's for this reason that the whole path of the snake was to get to the woman first. His mission was get to Chava. Ki ho'isha keneged ho'ish, hi bechinas achar abriya keneged koidem abriya. Because the female compared to the male is like after creation compared to before creation. Because who was created first? Adam Arishon. So Adam Arishon was closer to before creation than Chava. Chava is already a later stage. First there was only Hashem, then there was Hashem in the creation, then there was Adam, and then there was Chava. We keep moving further and further away from Hashem, further and further away from the beginning. Ki kol darga v'darga shegavoya machaveiroi hu bechinas koidem abriya v'achar abriya. Because whenever we speak about a higher level, we're talking about a level that's closer to Hashem, closer to before creation. Ki hadargo hagavoya smucha yoyse lekoidem abriya. The thing that's on a higher level is closer to before creation. V'alkein nechsheves neged hadargo shelamata mimena b'chinas koidem abriya. And therefore, that level, compared to the level below it, is referred to as before creation. For example, if we talk about the midos of Hashem, you have chesed and gvura. Which one is higher? Chesed on the ladder. Gvura is below it. So therefore, gvura compared, chesed compared to gvura is referred to as before creation. Gvura is after creation, chesed is before. Anything that's on a higher level is earlier. It started or it began earlier. When Hashem first created, the light came down in levels. First it went to Keser, then it went to Chachma, then it went to Bina. So each time we're dropping down a level, we're going to further away after creation. As we move up levels, we're going back to earlier and earlier stages. That's why you mentioned, for example, the Sfirois many times are referred to kavyachol, like a family. Netzach and Hoid are referred to as children. Chesed, Gvura, Teferes are parents. Chochma and Bina are grandparents. Keser is called Sovin the Sovin, great-grandparent in a sense. Each time you go higher, you're going back in time. You're going to earlier and earlier, closer and closer to Koidem Abriya. V'zeo b'chinas ish v'isho, nefesh v'guf, odam u'behema. This is also the concept of male versus female, the soul versus the body, human beings versus animals. Ki ho ish, b'chinas nefesh, b'chinas odam, b'chinas koidem abriya, keneged ho isha, shehi guf, b'chinas behema, b'chinas achra abriya. Man compared to woman is like human compared to animal, is like before creation compared to after creation. Anytime we're talking about a higher level, it's always a concept of earlier. Bechinas, exactly. V'alkein shom be'inyan hachibur shel ish ve'isha shom ikar hamilchama v'hanisoyoin v'abechira v'hatziruf shel ha'odom bozeh ho'ilam. And this is why at that place where male and female connect, where husband and wife are united, that's where you have the greatest battle, the greatest test, the greatest free choice, and the greatest purification of a person in this world. Ki ho isho nilkecho al yedei sheino v'tardema. Because as we mentioned earlier, the woman was created by man being put to sleep. Not just Shena. Shena means sleep. Tardema means a deep sleep. Shehu bechinas histalkus hadas, which means removal of the das. When a person goes to sleep, the brain shuts down. The soul leaves. the spirituality leaves the person 99.9%. Shehu b'chinas tchilas hatzimtzum. That's the beginning of a constriction. Shetzimtzim v'silei kadas beiz b'china, whereby kavyochel Hashem constricted himself and removed the das from a certain place in order to make room for creation, right? Cholol aponui. That's what made it possible for the world to go from thought into being, into actual creation, physical creation. As is explained in the Sifrei Kabbalah, in the writings of the Arizal, that if Hashem had not made a tzimtzum, if Hashem had not removed the das, there would not have been any place for creation to take place. And the creation would still have been in thought only. It wouldn't have been able to happen physically. In order for creation to physically take place, there had to be this tzimtzum. There had to be this constriction of kaviyochol, Hashem removing himself, removing the light, removing the das in order for the creation to take place. That's the creation of the world, and that's also the creation of Chava. In order for Chava to be created, Adam Rishon had to be put to sleep. Asleep, a tardema. There had to be that tzimtzum, that removal of the das, in order for this next level of creation to take place. The creation of Chava. This corresponds beautifully. Just like when Hashem created the world, Hashem had to remove the light to make room, so too, this is how the woman was built from the man. Al yedei tardema, that there had to be this sleep, this deep sleep that was imposed. Shehu histalkus hadas, sleep tardema is a removal of conscious, a loss of consciousness. Shemishom b'chinas shoyresh achizas hasheker. And when there's a lack of das, when the das leaves, that's when the sheker is able to move in. When a person is fully conscious, fully alert, fully aware, he sees things right. He sees the emes. He sees exactly what it is. When a person's tired, the person's driving and he's drowsy, he's tired, even if he doesn't mamish fall asleep, just because he's tired, his brain is operating 70%, he misjudges, chas v'shalom, he doesn't see. He doesn't see quickly enough, chas v'shalom, he can't respond quickly enough, and tragedy, catastrophe. So this histalkus hadas, shemishon b'chinas shoyresh achizas hasheker. Or we said, for example, a person drinks. His mind becomes cloudy, loss of consciousness. He's no longer 100% alert. He's only 80% alert. And that person goes driving, he's sheker. There's a sheker there. He's fooling himself. He thinks, chas v'shalom, he thinks he's okay and he's not okay. And he makes decisions. He thinks he has enough time to stop, and he doesn't, and chas v'shalom, catastrophe. V'yalkein hizgore hanochosh b'ho'isha, and that's why the nochosh attacked the woman. He went after the woman. V'hita oisa b'toz dak min adak, and he tricked her in the most fine, the tiniest little thing. He caught her, he trapped her in a word. She just added a word accidentally. He got her involved in a conversation. And she, what happened? Tell me. What happened? You want to know? I'm happy. Of course I'll tell you what happened. Women love to talk. And she's talking, Hashem said this, and I said that, and Hashem said this, and Hashem said don't eat, and he said don't touch, and blah, 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 blah. The nochash heard a slip of the tongue, tiny slip. She added one word that was wrong, that was sheker. Hashem didn't say don't touch Hashem. And boom, the nochash got her. Can move on b'parsha, as we see in the parsha of the Embereshis. Shebetchila d'chofo ad shenogaboy. That when Chava was having this wonderful conversation with the nochash, the moment the nochash heard the slip of the tongue that she said, Hashem said don't touch, the nochash bumped into her. He gave her a little push. And she touched the tree, and she thought she was going to see, you know, like in the movie, she's going to see the electrical lights, she's going to get electrocuted. Nothing happened. Zero. She touched the tree, and she lived happily ever after. And the snake said, look at that. Wow, interesting. Interesting. You said that Hashem said, if you touch the tree or you eat the tree, nothing, that it's the end. It's going to be the end of the world. Look, you touched and nothing happened. I'm sure if you look at that delicious fruit there, I'm sure if you eat also, could be Hashem didn't really mean it. You know how Hashem is. Ad shenisto achrov, until he was able to draw her to follow him, v'choto bepoil, and he got her to actually commit a sin, v'ochla meitz hadas, and she ate from meitz hadas. V'azai takef, and then immediately afterwards, he hit his Odom. She got Odom Arishin to make a mistake. Ki ikar hatos al yidei bnei Odom shekvar nichshelu, because as Rav Nosson Zal taught us earlier, the main problem, the main mistakes in Judaism come about through people who have fallen. A person who has not been perfect with his Yetzer Hara. He's fallen into traps, he's committed sins, or he hasn't been perfect. That person now becomes a trap. That person now becomes more dangerous than the Yetzer Hara himself. That person has a power to get other people to commit sins much more than the Yetzer Hara himself. Those people, a human being who has become a client of the Yetzer Hara, who has fallen into the trap, he took the bait, he becomes a much more powerful salesman in convincing other Jews, Hashem, not to get close to the tzaddik or not to do the right things than the Yetzer Hara himself. Chas v'shalom. And on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day when the world was created, we mean the world was completed, finalized, the day in which Adam Arishon was created. And on that day, on the first day of his life, he sinned. And Hashem helped Adam Arishon on that day to start the tshuva process. That's why on that day of Rosh Hashanah, we, all of mankind, have to start the real tshuva process, the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Kemuva, as is brought in the Zohar HaKodesh, Vayechid Af Reish Chaf Amar Aleph, that it's because the first sin took place on that day, and the tshuva for that sin started on that day, that's why Rosh Hashanah is this most important day of the year for all of us. That's why Rosh Hashanah kicks off the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. V'zeh ha-tikun i'efshar kim al-yidei gedoilei ha-tzadikim. And this tikun of Rosh Hashanah, this tikun of Tshuva, is only possible through the greatest of tzadikim. U'beyoyser mashlimim ha-tikun achar istalkusim kanal. And when are they really able to participate in this tikun? When are these greatest of tzaddikim really be able to affect this tikkun? Only after they've already passed away. Al kein hoilchem al kivrei tzaddikim be'erev Rosh Hashanah. This is why the Shulchan Aruch says the custom in Klal Yisrael is that on erev Rosh Hashanah we go to kivrei tzaddikim. Look how Rav Nosson Zal explained this. This is one of about 20 places in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal really clarifies what's going on Rosh Hashanah, what it's all about, why that day, and why what the significance of Erev Rosh Hashanah, and why, again, why it's not enough. Oh, what do you mean? I put on tefillin by myself. I put on a towel by myself. I need a tzaddik to... I don't need a tzaddik to put on tefillin for me. I don't need... Why Erev Rosh Hashanah? Why Rosh Hashanah do I need to be by the tzaddik? Why do I need to connect more to him then than every other day of the year? Here, Rav Nosson Zal gave a very, very clear explanation. And here he went further to really zero in that it's not even enough living tzaddikim. The question that everybody asks, everybody wishes, if only we had the living tzaddik, if only we go to a living Rebbe. And they don't realize that in Judaism, not in Breslov, in Judaism, other religions I'm not an authority on, but in Judaism, in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch, it's made perfectly clear. Nobody can debate this. No Litvak, no Misnagid, nobody can debate this. That in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Gedoilim tzadikim b'misosam yoyser mebichayim. That the tzaddik who is dead is more powerful, more effective than the tzaddik who is living. And that's why Rav Nosson says, in order to do what the job that has to be done on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, you need this kesher to the Kivrei Tzaddikim. There's a certain benefit. A person would say, but hold on a second, when Rabbeinu Zal was alive then, maybe they should have gone to Rabbeinu Zal knew what needed to be done while he was physically living. And Rabbeinu Zal himself made it a point while he was living to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. He ran at every opportunity. He would go to the Kever of the Baal Shem Tov. And when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he went to Miron. He went to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. He went to the places that he needed to go to. But for us, Rav Nosson Zal makes it perfectly clear, we in this generation, that this is one of the best things that a Jew can possibly do in the year, especially for Rosh Hashanah, to be zechah to connect with the G'doylei HaTzadikim and to be zechah to go to the Kivrei Tzadikim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Rav Kochav Lev Zal, Rav Avrom Sternhart, Zechor Nevrocha, who was a great-grandson of Rav Nosson Zal. You have his picture on the wall over there. He was zecher to be one of the great leaders of Breslov in his time. He was appointed as the chazan in Uman when he was before he was married, which is very rare. When he was, I'm almost sure, maybe it was right after he was married, you know, before he was 20, I know. He got married at 16, I think. But he was appointed as the chazan then, and he was the one who gave the shir in Uman for many, many years. And he was both the Baal Tefillah and the Magid, the one who gave the shir in the main ballroom, you know, on Rosh Hashanah in Uman for many years. And when he came to Eretz Yisrael to leave communist Russia, for them it was very hard to tear themselves out of Russia because on one hand, they used to say, the Breslovers in Russia used to say that 364 days a year, we envy the Jews outside of Russia. One day a year, or 2 days a year, they envy us. We got the upper hand because we're here. We can be in Uman for Rosh Hashanah no matter where they are. Even the Jews in Eretz Yisrael can envy us that we're zecher to be here for Erev Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, those 3 days to be in Uman. But because of the situation where Judaism was being systematically obliterated by the communists, you know, from 1917 and on, and it's such, all the Jews, including the Breslovers, knew that it was a mitzvah to get out of there. So all of them left at different points in time. And when Rabbi Avrom Zal came to Eretz Yisrael, he was the one who initiated. Until he came, even the Breslovers living in Eretz Yisrael, most of them lived in Yerushalayim at the time, and they would daven in Yerushalayim on Rosh Hashanah. To be in Yerushalayim, everyone knows, is one of the holiest places in the world. The Mishnah says in Kalim that the Kedusha, holiness in this world, begins in Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the world is called Eretz Amim. It's called Avir Tomei, impure. The Kedusha begins, starts in Eretz Yisrael. That's level one. Level two is Yerushalayim. Level three, we go higher and higher until you get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, which the Kohen Gadol would go into once a year on Yom Kippur. So to be in Yerushalayim, to daven together in Yerushalayim, Biskashrus to Rabbeinu Zal, that most of them thought that was the ultimate. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, number one of the first places he went to when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael was to make a beeline for Miron, to go to the Kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal up in Miron. And after that, whenever he had the opportunity, that was one of his most important visits. And he was the one who established, who spoke about it, and he actually wrote a small sefer called Imrois Tehoirois, where he brings all the sources from Likutei Moran and from Likutei Halachos, where Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal emphasize that the place for a Breslover or a Jew to be on Erev Rosh Hashanah and on Rosh Hashanah is by the Kever of the Tzaddik, you know, to be close to there. And he was the one who initiated going to Miron. He said that if we can't go to Uman, to go to Miron, to be in Miron for Rosh Hashanah, for those 3 days, Erev Rosh Hashanah and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And unfortunately, at the time, there was controversy in Breslov itself. There were people who said, who is he? There were other great leaders in Breslov who didn't initiate, who didn't say that. I don't know if any of them were against it, but they weren't the ones who proposed it. He was the one who initiated this. And he spoke about the greatness of Yerushalayim and the greatness of the Kosel Marovi, but he brought sources in Likutei Maran and Likutei Lachas, where Rabbeinu Zal says that the Beis Hamikdash, we just finished Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter in Likutei Maran, in Torah Samach Zayin, in the second half of Likutei Maran, that the Beis Hamikdash draws its holiness from the Tzaddik. So again, even the Beis Hamikdash, even Yerushalayim and the Kosel Maravi, all they are drawing their holiness from the Tzaddik. And he said, therefore, the best thing that a person could possibly do if he can't go to Uman would be to be in Miron for Shir Balag Boimra. It started with a small group of people. The first time they went, I think there were Rav Moshe Burstein, who should be healthy and well, can tell us if it was 11. I don't remember if there were 10 talesim even. They might have had like 7 talesim, 7 married people, and 3 or 4 teenagers that made up the minyan. Because again, this is going back to the 1940s, I think it was, when to travel to Miron took a few days. You know, it was a major trip from Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about in Israel, from Yerushalayim to Miron was a trip that took a couple of days. And there were zero accommodations in terms of where to sleep, where to eat. Most of them slept on the floor. You know, it was very, very difficult physically. So not too many people did it. Rav Moshe Burstein, should be healthy and well, was one of the first ones, him and his son, and continued it. And every year it grew a little bit. Until when I was going to move to Eretz Yisrael in 1987, that was the last Rosh Hashanah. In other words, September, October of 1987 was the last Rosh Hashanah in Miron of the major kibbutz, where at that time there were about 1,300, approximately that many people in Miron, Breslovers in Miron for Rosh Hashanah. And it was right after that that the doors opened for Uman, and things started happening. I think the following year, there was still quite a number of people, because to Uman, only 250 people made it that first Rosh Hashanah. And afterwards, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, it started growing. Although even today we know, which is we're in 2009, we're in Tovshin Samachdes, there's still a few hundred people, at least, who go to Miron for Rosh Hashanah, people who, whatever for whatever circumstances, whatever reasons, can't go to Uman or don't, they go there to be by the kever of the tzaddik, to go to the kever of this tzaddik, who was one who had a very serious connection with Rabbeinu Zal, as we said. Rabbeinu Zal starts the Likutei Maran with him, with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, and we mentioned that we just had Shabbos Nachmu. The Nechama for the Churban Beis Hamikdash is called Shabbos Nachmu. The Rosh Teves are Shin Nun, which is Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nachman. These two tzaddikim, who we hope are going to finish the job of what Moshe Rabbeinu started, you know, in terms of Kiyum HaTorah. We should be zeicher that their schus should carry us through these 7 weeks now. We just had Shabbos Nachmu. There's 7 Shabbosim till Rosh Hashanah. And this is a time for every one of us to really, really prepare, b'hashgacha, that we just happened to start this paragraph, v'zeh b'chinas Rosh Hashanah, today, the Sunday after Shabbos Nachmu. It's a reminder that all of us now, the train has started, it's going. We're headed towards Rosh Hashanah now. All of us should be zecher to prepare the right way, to prepare suitcases of mitzvos and ma'asim tovim to bring to the tzaddik. Rabbeinu Zal said, bring me bricks and mortar and I'll build. Each one of us has to bring with him as many mitzvos, Torah, tefillah, tzedakah, chesed, things that we can do, so that the tzaddik will be able to build what he needs to build. And we should be zeichah that all the Jews that go to Uman and those Jews that aren't zeichah, that don't go there, that daven either by other kivrei tzaddikim or wherever they are, we should be zeichah that all the tefillah should be united, and it should help bring about the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Amen v'Amen.